Welcome to My Mind, My Voice, stories of people from around the world. See yourself in our stories.
We acknowledge the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people, the traditional custodians on the land on which we meet, and pay our respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. We extend this respect to the First Nations people around the world.
I'm here to share my mental health journey and the things that helped me notice that I wasn't alone. I'm here to talk about what it felt like coming from a community that didn't really talk about mental health and what it felt like to understand that the things that you're going through don't make you strange or a disgrace to your community. My name is Naomi and this is my story. I don't think I was ever a carefree child, though I always tended to be loud, made a lot of friends, and was a good kid on paper. I was also very secretive, anxious, sad, and loved more than anything to spend time on my own when I was at home. My first real experience with what I now know to be depression was in high school. I was applying to transfer to a new high school outside my country and was really excited about it. There was a lot to look forward to. I could experience a new culture. A lot of schools I was applying to had gorgeous campuses. And most importantly, I was leaving the religious all-girls boarding school that I hated so much for several reasons, not the least of which was how much hatred LGBTQ folks had to deal with in that community. So here I am in a school that I hate, but right on the cusp of a new adventure, when I was hit with the lowest slump of my life up until that point. Every morning when the siren, yes, siren, went off for the daily wake-up call. It was such a struggle getting out of bed that I started to get in trouble for waking up late, and then got in trouble for being late to everything else for the rest of the morning. During that time, I got bad grades because I never put in any effort in my studies. I had a terrible diet. I avoided as many social situations as I could in a school as regimented as mine, and I started to withdraw emotionally from most of my friends. I left that school and moved to the US when I was 16. I was in boarding school in a new country with no family close by, but I felt like I had the opportunity to learn so many new things about myself. While I occasionally had really hard days where I felt so down that I skipped a few classes or after school events, I was mostly really engaged in the community and actually assumed that my slump from before was just because I didn't like the high school that I was in, and that made it hard for me to cope. More than anything, I was curious about so many things in this strange new place, so I immediately did what I always had done up until that point, and got involved in as many on-campus activities as I had time for. I found that it was a great way to meet new people and integrate into the community I found myself in. And the first few months were great. People seemed nice, and I was pretty oblivious to some of the more subtle intricacies of cultural hierarchies in the predominantly white community that I lived in. As time went on, I started to slowly detangle the way race, and specifically being a Black African woman, impacted the way that I was perceived by my teachers and other students, their parents, and the people in the town in which I lived. During community service events that I organized, people often made it a point to ask me specifically if it was mandatory or court-ordered, assuming that I was some sort of bad kid or in juvie. Comments about my appearance, the way I spoke, the way I dressed, did my hair, laughed, talked, danced, ate, all began to seem really weighted as I learned the experience of racism and tried to navigate a community which I didn't quite understand. I very quickly found myself in the middle of an eating disorder as I tried to gain control over one aspect of my appearance. It was an attempt to deal with a lot of anxiety around being Black in America when I spent my whole life never really being different only because of the color of my skin. Most of my focus at that time in my life was on my eating disorder, whether I knew it or not at the time, and almost every other aspect of my life took a backseat. Soon enough, I had to apply for university, which is potentially the most stressful period for a high school student in America, and this is when things started to take a turn for the worse. I was in the throes of a raging eating disorder, which had slowly spiraled into a deep depressive episode, and these two things just started to feed off of each other. Because of the low energy I had due to ED, I would stay in bed for most of the day and take sick days because of how terrible I felt, and this was like lighter fluid for the depression. I started to have suicidal thoughts and felt like I was letting myself down, but wasn't able to do anything to change the path that I was on. Obviously, this had a huge impact on my college applications. And as the rejection letters started pouring in from colleges I applied to, I started to feel an immense amount of anxiety every day. I would feel like there was constantly a weight on my chest and my stomach was always upset. My mind was foggy and I was never really present when I was with other people. I was flaky with my friends and I didn't show up for my commitments because of how terrible my mental health got. Growing up, I learned to solve problems on my own. I had moved through my life not taking up too much space because I was afraid to ask for help, because I felt like I always got in trouble at home when I did. So, I kept quiet about how difficult it was to be alive and thought that I would figure out a way on my own. Until one day, I felt like everything was crashing in on me and I started to get a really bad anxiety attack. I had seen my roommate go through something similar and knew that this was a sign that things were getting worse. That day, I finally thought to myself that I would try talking to my school's counselor to see if it helped at all. I had never been to a counselor before, and I had never spoken to anyone about any struggles that I had, really. The thing I remember most clearly is that out of all the feelings that I had about what was happening to me, including confusion and fear and guilt, what I felt most acutely was shame. I felt like nothing significant had happened to me to cause such a crisis. I felt like it was frivolous and weak to be having a full breakdown because I was a little sad and felt a little fat. That's truly what I thought was happening at the time. I had no vocabulary to express the daily anguish of my life and the amount of pain that I had lived with for several years up until that point. That truly seemed to me to come out of nowhere. At the time, I had no ability to notice my symptoms of poor mental health and no understanding of the severity of the things that I was going through. The most absurd thing to me now is that at that time, I was trained as a peer counselor to talk to other students who were going through issues with their own mental health, and I knew all of the on-campus resources that could help. But I realized now that I had internalized a lot of negative messaging around help-seeking behavior for mental health issues from my own community. In my country, most kids acting out were simply disobedient, disrespectful, ungrateful, or some combination of all three of these. And children who were suffering with their mental health were simply lazy or attention-seeking. Most importantly, though, we were constantly told that these diagnoses and struggles were white people problems, and that only people who didn't have real problems conjured these problems up for themselves. I believe that us Africans didn't have the interest or the luxury in making our lives harder than they already were. And I grew up hearing these things from people around me who looked like me and who I thought knew better than me, so I believed these things too. This was the reason I couldn't identify any of the mental health red flags, even after I got to know them, because I truly did not believe that I was vulnerable. After my first attempt to seek help, I stopped speaking to the school counselor because I still had so much shame around talking about my mental health. Somehow, I got through the worst of it, though I never actually sought any long-term help for my mental health and thought that that chapter of my life was done. However, I quickly found out that I'm one of the people who have mental health struggles that come and go in waves. During my college experience, I had numerous depressive episodes which lasted months, and I had disordered eating coupled with general anxiety disorder, which resulted in permanent damage to my digestive tract. And I went through various phases of substance use to cope with what felt like a life that I was watching from the outside. I always managed to stay afloat academically, and I made an effort socially, so I never really felt like I was in a mental health crisis for longer than a couple of days because I seemed to be able to function well enough to get by. My non-strategy worked pretty well for me and kept me surviving, but I was in no way thriving. This was until the last year and a half before my graduation from college. I can almost pinpoint the exact day and the fastest, most destructive downward spiral of my life. That summer, it felt like every other week there was a report of another Black person in America who had lost their life because of a racist incident. It was a time when I was really focused on my identity because I was also finally exploring my sexuality and starting to reckon with the complexity of being too Black for the culture I was in and too queer for the culture that I came from. I remember feeling a great sense of loss during that time as I thought about what it meant for me as a queer person in my family and in my home country. Also, during that summer of loss, my friend's dad suddenly died while they were on vacation, and I had a really close relationship with him and my friend's family because they had quickly become my second family while I was away from my own. All the trauma that I was processing at the time led to a cycle of depression, anxiety, substance use, and suicidal thoughts that lasted for over a year. I was doing really poorly in school, and I had completely withdrawn from my social circle and spent several days on end in bed, only getting up to get some food to try to make myself feel a little bit better. I gained a lot of weight and barely got any physical exercise, and I spent so much of that year feeling numb. The whole time I was going through this, I didn't tell anyone at all what I was struggling with. I was scared that my family and friends would be worried about me, and more importantly, that they would think less of me if I told them how I felt. After more than 1 year of struggling on my own, one day, my friend who had lost her dad asked me if I wanted to go with her to see the school counselors. I made an appointment with her and told her I would go to support her, and that was the day that changed everything for me because I no longer felt alone. Another one of my closest friends trusted me enough to open up about how she was struggling with her mental health, and I felt nothing but love, respect, and complete compassion for what she was going through. I started seeing my school counselors more regularly and learned some ways to manage several symptoms of my poor mental health, which slowly led to good habits that helped me to maintain good mental health. More importantly, I learned the value of sharing stories. Because I felt more comfortable talking about my mental health with the people closest to me, my friend told me that she had been going through the same things that I was going through. She became my rock as we navigated getting help and avoiding self-destructive behavior when either of us were feeling really, really low. Because I was honest with her, I didn't feel alone or ashamed of any part of the truth about the person that I was. I truly believe that the support of my chosen family is the reason that I was able to get better. Once I was honest with myself and with them about the reality of my struggle, I felt so relieved. I worked hard to accept that struggling with mental health didn't make me weak and wasn't something that I was making up. I deserve to be healthy and to actually enjoy my life, and this is something that I tell myself daily. Over the years, I've added so many things to my toolbox to help me care for myself and to cultivate good habits. And as I go along, I use what I need and I leave what no longer serves me. My life is mine to live, and I truly refuse to give anyone else the power to dictate how best to take care of myself. Journaling, music, yoga, dancing, spending time with my friends, traveling, reading, and lots of sleep are just a few things that I do currently to fill my life with the things that I love. I also take days off when I need to. I see my psychologist regularly. I binge watch Netflix. I take my medication. I cry as required, and I have my bad days because life requires balance. I don't really think of my mental health experience as something to overcome. It's just another aspect of who I am, another piece of the huge puzzle of my life. And I'm so grateful that I've learned to treat myself with kindness, and I now give myself the chance to have the full human experience, devoid of shame, for simply doing what I was put on earth to do, to live. I share my story because I think there's power in taking away shame and secrecy around mental health.
If you or yourself are dealing with a mental health concern and would like some support, please remember to call Lifeline on 13 11 14. If you are needing interpreting or translating services, please call 131 450, say your language, then say Lifeline 13 11 14, wait for a connection, and you'll be connected to somebody who can support you. If it is an emergency, please remember to call 000, and once again, if you require interpreting or translating services, please just say interpreter when connecting. All of this information and more on help services and resources within the ACT can be found on MEACT's website. That's meact.org.au.